I'm David Meltzer, and we are blessed to be here in the Irvine Towers Studios, and we are with an amazing entrepreneur, the co-founder of Choose Your Horizon, the amazing Rob Lee. Welcome to the playbook.
Thanks, David. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to having a great chat with you.
Yeah, well, according to the name of your company, in the realm of health, there are a lot of options, opportunities, and touches of favor. There's an acceleration of those options, opportunities, and touches of favor. I feel that there's been a lot of industries that didn't experience too much change over hundreds of years, and health is one that is exponentially accelerating. And one of the areas that has created a horizon of positivity and of benefit is the choice to utilize telehealth. And utilizing telehealth, especially today, is such a cost-effective, efficient, but also health-effective mechanism in order to facilitate success. And I know utilizing your Start Engine campaign, there's a lot of people not only excited about the business, but excited about the investment as well. And looking over your 15 years of experience, what are some of the things that you see on the horizon that give us multiple choices that allows us to utilize Choose Your Horizon?
Yeah. I think really just off the foot of COVID, and, you know, obviously not everything was good about COVID, but it really accelerated this component of healthcare. It pushed everything online, gave people greater access, more speed, pushed the conversation about therapy, even just about avoiding, or not avoiding the conversation just about mental health, which, you know, I'm very grateful for. And it has allowed businesses like ours to grow quite quickly. But, you know, on the horizon, and I think more recently, we're seeing some great innovations around some technologies in AI and companion AI type companions that can be really a value add to some of the services that we provide. So given like something, for example, we do some coaching for alcohol use disorder. Now, obviously, coaches can't be available 24/7, but where can AI, you know, be part of the conversation to bring in that reminder or check in with, you know, one of our patients during their, you know, treatment protocol with us? I just think the beauty about some of the innovations that have come in telemedicine is that it just gives people greater access to alternative treatments, you know, and so I even just used the example more recently, they're studying the GLP-1s, you know, compounded or, you know, branded for cravings, right? Even, and that can be applied for alcohol use, substances and of things of that nature. So not only for weight loss's sake, these compounds are providing additional alternatives, which is what I really love about, you know, being able to work in this space.
And we're excited to have you in this space. And I have so many other friends that are also involved in the business, as I recently found out. And I know why. As the chairman of Napoleon Hill Institute, you can check out, you know, this cat behind me. Two of the areas that I see Choose Your Horizon implementing, and you've had two exits over $250 million in those exits, but it's one, the discipline that's necessary when we look at having access to evidence-based treatments, especially for alcohol use and disorders and mental health, but also control of impulse. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that previously, that it's impulses are instant, and to be able to have access when they become instant and obvious, that we can stop the snowball effect and the acceleration in the wrong direction. How much of what is done in the home can help with the discipline that's necessary for healing, as well as the control of impulse?
Yeah. Yeah. The surround, like you spend most of your time in your home for the most part, and, you know, working with your partner, wife, or whatever it may be. I think just surrounding yourself with positivity in the home and openness, I think, is really important, just from like a nature nurture perspective inside the home. But just know that when you're at home, you can, you know, everyone's attached to their mobile phone these days, and predominantly it can drive some negative experiences in terms of like the dopamine hit that comes from that, and the addiction that can come from that. You know, it's just triggering yourself to take that veer the other direction, open up the mental health app, open up Calm, whatever meditation, Choose Your Horizon app, to strike up a conversation with your coach or your therapist or your medical partner, instead of maybe, you know, doing the doom scrolling on Instagram or getting caught up into the TikTok minefield, if you will. So I don't think there's positive things that come from those things, but I think it's just taking that extra note to yourself to say, you know, if I'm spending a couple of hours at home, I want to have good surroundings, clean home, good food in the fridge, healthy items. And, you know, if we're spending time on digital, you know, assets such as a phone or your TV, just know that there are components that you can install onto those, such as, you know, the likes of Calm or even other telehealth providers.
And, you know, we all are formed by our previous experiences and the meaning that we give those experiences. And I've been blessed to do a lot of work in Ireland, not only with Leslie Buckley on the Spectrum, but with the Web Summit guys. And I have found, specifically to Ireland as well, that the culture that you grew up in definitely shapes your perspective. And mm-hmm. I was curious how it shaped your perspective on healthcare, because obviously you have a very personalized perspective on healthcare that is carried over into Choose Your Horizon.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, look, speaking from personal experiences, and I have my own challenges with addiction and alcohol personally. Well,
but let's be honest, almost everybody in Ireland had their own.
Truthfully, you know, the acknowledgement there isn't there. You know, it's really just part of our culture. And, you know,
one more pint. That's how I describe your culture. That's don't go home. Just one more pint, Dave. One more pint.
We say one for the ditch. And that's because that's where you'll end up, you know. And so, look, I'm very aware and more recently that I think the conversation is changing at home, and more so even just around the dinner table of my friends. But, you know, speaking from experience, I've witnessed just what substance use disorder, alcohol use disorder can do to someone's life. I lost friends to these substances over time. And honestly, young male suicide in Ireland is hugely prevalent. Like, it's bad across the world, but over index in Ireland, you know, I think can do to do with the weather and different things. But the mental health conversation has always been, you know, white knuckle it, keep it inside, don't talk to anyone. But I'm starting to see that unfold into actually a more open nature conversation to say, well, actually, I might go home after beer number four now, and then the rest of the table kind of go, yeah, that's all right, you know, actually we got to wake up tomorrow and, you know, get to work and be fresh and all that good stuff. But 3, 4, 5, maybe even 6, 7 years ago, it was one more pint, which led to 3 more pints, which led to 7 more pints, and, you know, it really spirals from there. So yeah, I've witnessed how kind of family structures at home, and if for example there isn't like a very supportive family build, for example, that often a substance can leak into the kind of conversation for, you know, a friend of mine in particular. So that it can spiral from there. So support is such a huge component of like how recovery can occur in a community, and just being open to hearing someone's pain and just letting them know, hey, I'm here for you whenever you want to have a conversation. And I've again witnessing that people are saying those words rather than just meaning them. So like, you would have always just assumed like, oh yeah, hey David, we'll always, you know, I kind of know we'll always be there. But people are now actually starting to say it, you know, putting it out loud, which is giving people that extra step to speak up and say more about how they're feeling about certain substances or even anything to do with their mental health.
The perspective that was shaped from your culture in a more positive direction, which is some of the greatest entrepreneurs that I've ever met come from Ireland. And the culture is very entrepreneurial, in the spirit of a desire that you must be what you can be and not give a, as they say, shite about other people. There seems to be a Jopo attitude in Ireland instead of a Fopo. Fopo is fear of other people's opinion. I find the Irish have a Jopo, the joy of other people's opinion. And I hear you, but I'm going to show you instead. How much did your culture and your background shape your entrepreneurial journey?
Yeah. Yeah, I was blessed to go to, you know, a very good school, high school, Black Rock College, and come up in reasonably good circumstances. So I'm very blessed from that perspective. And both my parents worked, you know, around the clock. So I was in a household where mom and dad were both out working late, or my dad was running his own business in engineering. So I witnessed, you know, just the effort that he was putting in, you know, from 6, 7, 8 a.m. the morning, dropping us off to school and then going to work, and then see you later, dad, at 6, 7, 8, 9 p.m. sometimes, having dinner late when he's coming in working after working very hard. So just being in an environment like that, where your parents and maybe even your friends' parents are striving to give their kids a better life than maybe they had, you know, back in the 60s or 70s, where, you know, I'm only one generation away from parents who were, or grandparents who were, you know, policemen and bus drivers in Ireland. And generation, which is my parents, you see now, you know, my dad being an entrepreneur and having an engineering consulting business, and my mom, you know, having a career in finance and banking in Ireland, which was hugely, you know, inspirational for me, just from a very close circle perspective. And then just being in a very positive school environment, you know, gave me that energy. And I'd say just respect is probably the biggest thing I got out of my schooling, just to know when to speak, when not to speak, when to listen, and when to, you know, have your say. So I think those are just some of the tidbits that I'd like to share. And obviously, you know, going into kind of the macro component, we were always aware of like how the multinational corporations come to Ireland and just how much money can be carried from like international business perspective. So gave people in Ireland like that lens of, hey, well, let's just maybe, you know, build something in Ireland, but also look outside of Ireland to see where the bigger opportunities, and obviously America carries with that, you know, that kind of American dream perspective. And so many of the Irish great entrepreneurs have, you know, taken that leap across the pond to do well in the US.
And they do very well, just like you, and proof not only of the two exits, but what may be your biggest venture yet with Choose Your Horizon. What are some of the realistic, materialistic applications when we're dealing with alcohol abuse or control and also mental health, which are closely combined? Most people are utilizing a drug or an alcohol in order to accommodate a pain that is much greater, mostly mentally related and emotionally manifested. So what are some of the things Choose Your Horizon can do for someone that is suffering from addiction or suffering from a mental struggle?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Appreciate the question, because I think this is really where some of the innovation is occurring internally for us. And I will say that, you know, it wasn't how we envisioned where we get to today. It was a kind of a culmination of events throughout the last 3 years that we've been in existence to get to how we describe what we're calling today is the addiction iceberg. And so if I could illustrate to you, like at the top of the iceberg, we have the substance use issue, the alcohol, whatever it might be that everyone can see. So you, David, you look at me like, oh yeah, Rob's maybe drinking a bit too much. You know, I can see that. But if you think below the surface, 2/3 of the iceberg is way bigger than the top of the iceberg. And that's the bit that nobody sees. So this is where we've got the trauma, the childhood trauma, depression, anxiety, that's just been culminating over the years that is driving the addiction. So over 60% of the people who have a substance use issue ultimately have an underlying mental health condition. And so we're flipping the kind of rehab model on its head, where, you know, not every rehab is to this extent, but most of them have a huge like failure rate, where they're just, patients are coming in, they've reached rock bottom. They just want to get that addiction fixed right away and then go back to their life. However, there was no addressing the underlying conditions that ultimately are bringing that patient back to the rehab, you know, 3, 6, 9 months down the road. So our focus is on treating the top of the iceberg and the bottom of the iceberg all in one program. So bring you in, let's tackle the top of the iceberg with medication, which could be naltrexone, which is a very common medication. It's been around since the 80s. Combine that with psychosocial support. Our chief medical officer, Dr. Daniel Montville, you know, Mayo Clinic trained, will nurture that patient through a program where we'll start with the medication, combine it with the psychosocial, and then potentially when we start to see the substance use come down a little bit, we can start to address the underlying conditions with something like ketamine therapy, which is obviously an alternative and, you know, a heavy topic to be discussing, but it really allows you the opportunity to rewire some of those traumas that you've been experiencing. get to the bottom of what's actually been causing those addictive tendencies. So that's really like how we'd like to describe it. And I can tell you for sure, it was not a linear experience to get to the iceberg as like what we wanted to really tackle. You know, starting out with ketamine therapy 3 years ago, treating anxiety, depression, and so on. We really studied our patients and understood that many of them were coming with alcohol use disorder. So we put our hats on, worked with our medical staff to really combine all of these treatments together to come up with something totally comprehensive.
It's amazing. No wonder so many people are interested not only in participating, with 65 million people in America alone that said that they need care for these type of addictions and mental health that can't afford it. It is also extremely affordable and effective. That's why so many people are investing in and choosing to choose your Horizon. It's personalized, it's effective, efficient, and inexpensive. Check out their Start Engine investment campaign at startengine.com/offering/choose-your-horizon. An incredible leader, a proven leader, and also someone that knows that they can do well and do good. Out of Los Angeles, a friend of ours, Rob Lee. Thank you for joining me. This is David Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.